Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't drink, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Over here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand clap. We're coming to you live from Kingdom of God Ministry. We are located 9550 Canton, Georgia. That's in Canton on Belcherry Road. So if you're in the area, we have our services at 11 o'clock on Sundays. Again, the address is 9550 Belcherry Road, Canton, Georgia. The zip is 30115. And if you are being blessed by the ministry, tell someone. Tell someone that we are here. We are doing the work of the Lord, and we need support. We would love to see you if you need prayer, if you need deliverance. We are here. We are here for you. And just let the people know we are doing this every Sunday, 24/7. We don't stop. We don't take a break because we love what we do for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be coming to you. I hope everyone had a happy new year. I believe that God is going to bring some blessings to us on this 2013. And we're going to be coming to you with the church teaching on the church of Thyatira. That is one of the fourth churches in Revelation. We have been going before the holidays. We were going through the churches in the book of Revelation. And up to this point, we stopped off, gave you a break, and now we're coming back with the church of Thyatira. It's the worldly church. If you could turn to me with Revelations, that would be Revelations 2, 18 through 29. Let's go there. And just keep Kingdom of God Ministries in your prayers. Because like I said, like with everything, you have your challenges, and sometimes we try to come to you live and we get all kinds of distractions, but however, we're going to continue to do what God called us to do until he say otherwise, amen? We are not distracted by things we see. We are not distracted by crowds. We just continue and be committed in what God has called us to do. So if you could turn to Revelations 2, 18, 29. First of all, I would always like to open with prayer. I can't start without praying. So, Father God, we just want to thank you today. Lord God, we just thank you because, Lord, you're so worthy. You're so awesome, God. It's because of you, Father God, that we were able to see another year, 2013. Lord God, and we don't know what the year holds, but we know you hold the future. And we ask, Lord God, that you be with us, you strengthen us, you give us the commitment, Lord God, the perseverance that we need to go forth in your ministry, to do the things that you called us, because we know it is dark hour. It is a dark hour. And people need you, Father God. So, Lord God, we ask that you touch the hearts. Let there be a heart relationship felt with you. Not just lip service, but a heart, Lord God, where people will seek you with their whole heart and their soul. Not just church as usual, but a relationship. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Revelations 2, 18, 29, let's read. It says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Lord of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, servants, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent. You notice he keeps referring to repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Okay? Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As we look at these seven letters to the book of Revelation, you notice it's helpful to remember two things about them. First, they are a picture of seven kinds of churches that we find in any church age. So we know as we go throughout the different churches, we could connect some of the churches with even today. 2,000 years later, we still see the same spirit that was in those churches, in the churches today. First, they are a picture of seven kinds of churches that you see in this age. Every church in the world today will fall into one or more of these categories of churches. We fit into one of them ourselves. It's just a matter of which one do we fit in. Kingdom of God Ministries, which one do we fit in? And we go on throughout all the different churches, and we can take our self-examination and see, where do we fit, okay? There are a preview of the entire age of the church falling into seven periods from the first coming of our Lord to his second appearance. Today, we come to the fourth of these churches. Like I said, it's the church at Thyatira. beginning in verse 18, which I read of chapter 2, the Lord addressed the angel of the church. Thyatira was located again in that same vicinity of Pergamon, about 35 miles southeast of Pergamon. It was a very small city, but it was a commercial center. It was a major road of the Roman Empire, and because of this, many trade unions had settled in this city. Everyone who worked there was a member of one or more trades. And as you did, I did some research, and if you remember Lydia, she was a convert. She became a Christian, but she was a merchant woman, and she made purple. And purple back in those days represented royalty, and the way they would get their purple, they had snails, and if they would squash the snails, this purple dye would come out, and this is how they would make these purple garments, purple robes. Notice they put a purple robe on Jesus because they were trying to make mockery of him because he said he was a king. So they put this purple robe on him, which represented royalty, but they were trying to make a mockery of him because he said he was the king of God. Okay, most of the kings, they would pay big money to get this purple, to get this royalty. And Lydia, she was a convert of Paul, and she was a merchant. She was a businesswoman. There were carpenters, dyers, like I said, D-I-Y-E-R-S, sellers of goods, tent makers. In the church at Philippi, which the Apostle Paul began, there were also, like I said, a woman named Lydia. She was the seller of purple in Thyatira. It was difficult to make a living as a Christian in Thyatira without belonging to the union. So in other words, if you wasn't part of their union, you couldn't hardly really make it in that area, okay? And we're going to talk about some things even in today's society where they're trying to bring about a particular chip that you will not be able. Now they're starting in the medical industry where they're going to start chipping you. But all your medical information will be stored on a little chip about the size of a grain of rice. So I'm just letting you know, this is what this is coming into. This is a factor which we will bear upon the interpretation of this letter. As we will see, our Lord's first words to this church indicate both judgment and approbation. He says, these are the words of the Son of God. Now, he made this distinction. He's speaking. He said, these are my words. The Son of God, whose eyes were like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. So he was commending them in one part because they did great works in the community. They were prosperous. They were doing great, and he always would commend them before he would bring that rebuke. Notice that. And this is how God do. He don't just tear you down, but he always say, son, you're doing good, but this is what I'm not pleased with, or you need to straighten this up, okay? It says, notice that he uses first and the only time in the book of Revelation the title Son of God. There are people who claim Jesus never said that, but you can see that he did use this. As the Son of God, his eyes like blazing fire, eyes that can pierce the facades and disguises the postures and pretensions of his people and get right to the heart what they are doing. And this is why people say, well, you God know my heart. Yes, because his eyes can pierce right beyond this outer cover, and he can see your heart. He can see why you do what you do. Are you going to church just for a show, or are you going to church because you truly have a heart for God? Or is it just more of a relation, not a relationship, but just a place where we get together for social activity? God knows our hearts, and this is what he's looking for. He wants a heart that is pleasing unto him. He says, I know their hearts. He says, eyes like blazing fire, eyes that can pierce the facades, the disguises, the postures, the pretensions of his people, and get right to the heart of what they are doing. His feet like burnished bronze, which can trample sin underfoot and severely punish that which is wrong. This is the power of God. God is going to trample the evil. God is going to destroy the wicked. He's going to trample them under his feet. Satan will not have rule over the power of Jesus Christ. Because when God comes back, he's going to cut through the fat gaze. He's going to cut through the pretentious. All the pretentious, God is going to discard that. Amen? It is the most corrupt of the seven churches that is presented here. This is why he said, the Son of God said, because they was corrupt, but they were pretentious. They looked holy. They act holy, but they were pretentious. They were hypocrites.
Yes.
Amen? But there are some good things going on in this church, and God tells you, he said, our Lord tells us that they are. I know your deeds. Your works, your love, your faith, your service, and your perseverance. Those are related. Love leads to service. Faith leads to perseverance. If you love God, you will serve his people. I don't care. It may not be convenient. A lot of times you may not feel like it, but when you love God, you will serve his people. You cannot help it. It is the sign that you love, that you are willing to serve. You will be even willing to lay down your very life for the sheep.
Amen.
Amen? And if you have faith, you will preserve. You will understand that God is in control and things will work out according to his purpose. Not your purpose, but his purpose. Let thy will be done. That's how we pray. I can't put a demand on God. I ask God. And I say, God, let your will be done in this situation. I hear a lot of these false teachers talk about you need to hold God to his word. What you talking about, hold God to his word? God is the word. That's damnable. And we need to stop that. Amen. So here was the church that had many people that loved God and served his people. They had faith in his word and they preserved. They helped many and they kept it up. As others then got involved, the church grew. So the deeds or the works of the church were far more when this letter was written than when it first began. And what I want to say, too, is talk is cheap. You know, we can say we love God. We can say we want to follow God. We want to do for God. I really love God. But, Lord, when the rubber hit the road, when the persecution comes, or when the commitment comes, where are you? Where's the committed? You got the faithful few. You got the faithful few that's still holding up the bloodstained banner. But when the trials and tribulation come, just like when Jesus left the scene, a lot of them went back to doing what they were doing. Because it's going to take commitment. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take trust in this day and time. Because it's not going to get any better. And all these false teachers talk about it's going to get easier. It's going to get worse. And they had did some predictions of 2013, and I don't get into it, but a lot of it made sense. They said there were going to be greater earthquakes this year than we ever seen. They say some might be even as large as 8.7 on the Richter scale. They said there were going to be massive tornadoes. We thought we had a lot of tornadoes. What I told you on New Year's Eve, how we had 120. They say it's not going to even compare. We're going to have some natural disasters. They said they've seen three solar flares that actually scientists already seen. This one solar flare was, what, about 120,000 feet shooting out from the sun. This was just the 123,000 miles shooting out from the sun. And they said the Earth is going to see three of these solar flares. I don't know. But like I say, there's no time to be pretentious. There's no time to be acting like you're a Christian when you got one foot over here in the church and one foot in the world. Time out for that. The way the church grows is when we get out there and we share the gospel with others. The people see our commitment, to see our love, and this is what draws them to Christ because they know you're not going to compromise in your walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go on. That's the way the church grows. If you and I have been there in Thyatira, we would have been greatly impressed by this church. It was busy. Don't you see it today? Bustling, active church. with some wonderful people in it who obviously manifested love and faith. We're not saying all of them is like that. Concerned, care for others, they get out there, they do a lot of things in the community. I mean, it's bustling. It must have seemed a very attractive church, big, beautiful building. But now the blazing eyes of the burning feet go into action.
Right.
We began to learn deeper facts about the church. Our Lord said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality. Okay? And the eating of food sacrificed to idols, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead.
Amen.
Now, we know God is a God of mercy. But in this particular instance, when God come with a rebuke, God ain't playing with you. He's saying, you need to get your house in order. And in this day and time, I have never seen, and I have mentioned it before, so many fornicating Christians in all the years. See, when we got saved, and if you was born with a man or woman, prerequisite would be, they say, are y'all married? We say, no. Are you living together? Yes, sir. Well, y'all need to get married. That was the first thing. Y'all need to get married. Y'all need to stop fornicating. Okay? But nowadays, the church don't even mention sin. They don't even talk about fornication. But yet, Jesus brought that out because a lot of idol worship, what we're going to get into, they use sexual perversion, sexual sins, fornication. Fornication is one of the sins of the flesh. And all this is intertwined with witchcraft and self-idolatry and all this stuff, fornication. Most of these cults, most of this use a lot of sexual perversion. This is why God said I had something against you. Evidently, there was in the church at Thyatira a woman who was a very dominant leader. Jesus names her Jezebel. Now, was it the Jezebel that was over in Ezekiel's time? Well, we know she caused a lot of the prophets to commit fornication. But that same spirit of Jezebel was still going on then. That same spirit of Jezebel is still going on today. He's going to bring out some of these spirits of Jezebel that is rampant today in our modern society. That spirit is still going forth. This was not her name, of course, but our Lord always named people according to their character. This is why he often renamed people in the gospel. Here he chose the name of the most evil woman in the Old Testament, that spirit of Jezebel. The Old Testament Jezebel was the daughter of King Sidon, a town in Lebanon that is often in the news these days. She was the wife of King Ahab of Israel, the northern kingdom, and she was particularly noted for having made the worship of the god Baal popular in Israel. Baal was a fertility god, and his worship involved immoral and licentious practices. There were temple prostitutes, both male and female, associated with the worship of Baal. It was Jezebel who spread that degraded worship widely among the 10 tribes of Israel until it became one of the popular religions of the day. She herself supported over 800 prophets of Baal who ate at her table. She was the one who tried to kill Elijah after his famous encounter with 480 of the prophets of the Baal on Mount Carmel. When the fire came down from heaven, remember Jesus said his eyes like that burning fire. When the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, that mighty man of God had faced with great courage of 480 false prophets. But when Jezebel got after him, he ran for his life. She was also the one who murdered her neighbor Naboth because her husband wanted his vineyard. So see, this woman was ruthless. This spirit of Jezebel, it don't care. If you get in her way, it will try to destroy you. It will try to take you out. This is a wicked, demonic spirit, but they use this woman because she's in control. And he said, you allow this wicked woman, this prophetess, this spirit of Jezebel to come in my church and corrupt my church. She was ruthless. She was immoral. She was a seducer of the people. And this is why Jesus selects her for the end of her days by being thrown from her palace into the courtyard. And you know how she was thrown out the window and the dogs came and ate up her flesh. Amen. But this is an example of what God is going to do to this wickedness. He's going to crush the spirit of Jezebel when he comes back and reigns. Okay, let's go on. Now, he's going to be bringing out Alice Bailey. There are some things with Alice Bailey that Pastor Bob going to bring out. This Jezebel in Thyatira called herself a prophetess. There's nothing wrong with a prophetess, with a lady prophetess. That just means she's a prophetess of a prophet. Maybe her husband is a prophet. But when you try to usurp the authority of Jesus Christ, and you start teaching things that is damnable to Jesus Christ, then God have a problem with that. Amen? So here, let's go on. It says this whole scenario is parallel in many churches today that accept the easygoing sexuality and lack of standards that is so widespread in our society. For instance, some churches approve homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Many do not discipline their members when they fall into sexual immorality. They won't even talk about it because they're only concerned with that tithe offering or they're only concerned with that money. So when they fall into sexual immorality, that's something that's swept under the carpet. They don't address that. Others allow pornography. And if you look over here, the word pornography in the Greek comes from porneia, meaning harlotry, adultery, incest, fornication. That's where you get the word porneia, coming from our word pornography. Pornography to go unchallenged in their midst. Some of them won't even address pornography. But yet, a lot of Christian men, when they did a survey, they found that a lot of Christian men frequent the pornography websites because they got a spirit on them. They don't want to get it broke off of them because it's comfortable to the flesh. So they don't even touch that. Well, that's what men do. No, that is demonic, and you need to get delivered from it. But notice that the Lord holds the church responsible. His accusation to them is this. You tolerate. Notice he said tolerate. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. This is a problem that church leaders have to face in our day. Just as it had to face in that time, we have to face it today. We have to root it out. No, we're not going around asking folks, or you commit fornication, you don't. But you know, you kind of know. If somebody say, well, this is my friend, 9 times out of 10, they, you know what I mean. So these are some things we need to address. And yes, we are under grace. Yes, grace, God has given his grace to us. We are under grace, but we can go to him. And he said, if you should repent, he can forgive your ways. He can forgive your sin. Notice in the letters to the church at Pergamon and to the church at Thyatira, the Lord links sexual immorality with idolatry. We may find that strange, but actually one inevitably leads to the other. So usually when you're in idolatry, you're in fornication or some kind of immoral sex act. The reason is this, fornication and adultery are both clear-cut violations of specific and explicit statements in the Word of God. Anyone who reads the Bible can see clearly that God forbids these activities. It is wrong for believers to indulge in sexual immorality of any sort. When one does, he or she has deliberately violated the authority of God. And I wanted to go over here to Galatians, and let's see what God says about that. It's Galatians, I think it's Galatians 5, talking about some sexual sins and what he was saying about that. Because nowadays they tell you, well, since you're under grace, you could just live any kind of way, and God understands. It's Galatians 5, 16 through 21. Let's go there. Well, we're under grace, so, you know, those things we don't even have to address. I heard one preacher say, well, I don't even have to talk about that sin because people know what they're doing anyway. So we don't even have to address that. Okay, let's go on 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I told you before, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that goes against some of these teachers that is telling people that you can do all this stuff mentioned and you still gonna make it in. I have to differ with that. Like I said, yes, we're under grace, but where do you find yourself on your face repenting before the Lord, repenting from such like this? Turn from your way. Seek the Lord, and God can hear you of all that. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to bring that out, and he will conclude with the teaching about Alice Bailey, because these are some of these prophetess that calls themselves, they were calling themselves prophetess, but they were really of Satan. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. And we want to thank the Lord for everything that Sister Montgomery brought out in reference to the Church of Thyatira. And the reason that we're covering these churches, as was said earlier, because we're still living in the church age. And those very same spirits that were prevalent then are still prevalent now, because these things are spiritual. Now, Jesus came and he gave every one of these churches, he commendated them on some things, and he warned them on some things. So he pointed out the good things that they were doing, the things that were pleasing to God and to Christ, and he also pointed out the things where they were missing the mark in reference to God. And, you know, in the Greek, when miss the mark means to sin. That's what that means. When you, in the Greek vernacular, to sin means to miss the mark. So that's what Jesus was telling the church. He said, you're doing all right in this area, but you're still missing the mark in this area. And because I love you, I'm going to warn you of these things. In other words, Jesus, it is not the will of God that any man be lost. It is not the will of God that any man go to hell. It is not the will of God that any man fall into bondage or be under the torment of the evil one or be depressed or oppressed or sick, diseased, demon-possessed, none of that. That is not the will of God. That is not the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When these things happen, it is the will of the evil one, the devil. And that is the reason why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoke to the seven churches of Asia, because he saw that the devil was making inroads into the body of Christ. Okay? And so therefore, our Lord and Savior came, he warned them and said, look here, if you all don't get your act together, if you don't stop doing what is separating you from God, then I'm going to remove your candlestick. Amen. Okay. Now, I just wanted to bring that out. Now, there are people in this day and age, and this is the reason why we're bringing out what we're bringing out, because we're in the church age. And you have people that are doing the same thing that they were doing back in the seven churches. They were creeping in, acting like they were something. They were hypocrites, but they would get into the leadership. They would get into the position of pastor, of bishop, of elder, and they would teach things contrary to the word and the will of God. And they would do it in such a way that would cause you to believe it, because they would sneak in and put in various words of scripture, various words of the Lord, They will creep it in, they will sneak it in, but they will pervert it, and the end result is you're falling away from God. What I want you to know is the devil knows the scripture. The devil knows the word of God. He knows it well enough to pervert it, twist it, and cause you to believe a lie, because he's a liar. So if he can tell you a lie that sounds like the truth, and you bite it, and you believe it's the truth, that's the extent of your deception. So what does that mean? That means we have to study the word of God extensively. We have to know the word of God. Like the scripture said then, we do not have to be ashamed or made ashamed, because we rightly and justly and correctly by the Spirit bring out the word of God. So we cannot be deceived. Like Jesus said, many will be deceived in the last days. He said, wide is the gate that leads to everlasting punishment. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. What is he saying? A lot of people will desire to get into the kingdom or get into the church or get into the things of God their own way, the way they want to, not going off the word of God, not going off what Jesus said. Now, we're living in a day and time where, as I said earlier, there's a lot of things that has crept into the church via a mix-up, via a perversion of the word of God. And I'm going to get into that. We have various people who call themselves believers, call themselves Christians, but then they'll backslide or they'll fall away from God and they won't tell you. And they'll continue to teach and preach God's word with a bit of leaven. And when I say a bit of leaven, what I'm talking about, just enough, arsenic, but you won't taste it right away, or you won't respond to it right away. And then they'll just keep putting little bits of arsenic, a little bit of poison, a little bit of leaven, a little bit of leaven, a little bit of arsenic, until the whole thing is poison, and by that time, you're completely deceived. You're like in a cult. You're on your way to hell thinking you're pleasing God. Now, I'm going to read something to you. I got something in reference to Alice Bailey, the 10-point plan by Alice Bailey, and this is of the New World Order. But before I do that, I'm going to read to you the Ten Commandments. Now, we're familiar with that, but I'm going to read to you the Ten Commandments to show you how they try to mix that thing up, to show you how they will have a comparison to God's word, to show you why they will take God's word, put their spin on it, and pull you away from God while you're thinking you're pleasing God and doing the right thing in the community and the right thing in reference to the things of this earth. That's what they'll do. They'll tell you, well, you know, it's good. To feed the poor is good. God commands us on that. Remember Thyatira? Jesus told Thyatira that your end works were greater than your first. But yet you allow Jezebel to be in hierarchy in the congregation, and she's leading all my people astray through her immorality. And through her teachings of sexual immorality is okay. It's not okay. Of course, in this country, it's okay. They're trying to make it acceptable. They're trying to make it right. And anybody that speaks against that, they're wrong. If you say wrong is wrong, then you got a problem. But the scripture said you're coming to a time where they will call right wrong and wrong right. So that's what they're doing now. They're calling wrong right and right wrong. And anybody that stands up for the truth and for the word of God is going to be bold about it and not going to fall by the tricks and the subtlety of the enemy then they want to blast them. If you don't accept everything in this country that's wrong, if you don't say what's wrong and is right, then there's something wrong with you. That's how something is. You got a problem. You got a problem. Well, let's go to where this thing starts. Now I'm going to go to let's see. Well, first of all, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. We're familiar with that, but I'm going to read the Ten Commandments, and then I'm going to read the 10-point plan of Alice Bailey for this new world order that they are now working on. And as my wife previously said, they call it a chip. It's an RFID chip, which is a radio frequency identification device that they are now injecting in people under the guise of medicine, a tracking device under the device of medical or medicine, whereas it's supposed to take care of all your, you know, all your information is in this. It's going to be quicker. It's going to make save a whole lot of money and all this kind of stuff. But it's a tracking device. And guess what they're going to put it? They're going to put it in your hand and in your forehead. In your hand and in your forehead. Now, where else in Scripture do you find that? It's in the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation says the beast is going to mark his people, his folk, in their hand and in their forehead about the size of a grain of sand or a grain of rice. That's how small it's going to be. That chip is going to have, I believe, a lithium battery in it, and they said that this battery, when it gets hot enough, it can explode or it can secrete a poison in your body that's going to have negative effects on your body. You think about that. You got a chip in you that's heat sensitive. If it gets over a certain temperature, it could explode or defect to the point that it's going to affect your physical body. And who knows what else is in that chip. But that's what they're doing now. Now, the scripture said this over some 2,000 years ago that that's going to happen, and that's what's happening now. So what should we believe? Men or the Bible? Somebody might say that somebody just thought up the Bible. You know, they were just sitting out somewhere. Well, I think I just make up a Bible. Yeah. And this thing, this Bible that I'm making up, is going to tell me how to live right. It's going to correct me. It's going to tell me what I'm doing wrong. It's going to convict me to do right. And it's telling me to do things that I don't want to do. But I just made that up. Oh, what kind of foolishness is that? Nobody can just think up this Bible and write it and it be effective and it be true, because anything that man deals with is going to have a defect in it. It's going to have a defect in it because man is not perfect. God is perfect. And since God is perfect, guess what? His word is perfect. That's the very reason why people can be saved today and filled with the Spirit today and have victory over the enemy today and can be able to stand up and speak against error and wrong even at the extent of their life. Being a true martyr. And when I say a true martyr, I don't mean somebody that goes out and to become a martyr, he got to kill up 50 people and then die. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a true martyr as was in Roman times when people stood up to lions, being burnt alive, being sawn in half, being shot full of arrows, but yet and still they did not deny their faith in Jesus Christ our God. And they didn't fight back. They were like lambs led to the slaughter, just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word of God incarnate, all power was given to him. Do you not know that if he wanted to stop the crucifixion, he could have, but he didn't want to, because he saw us. He saw us. He saw the condition we were in. being torn down by the enemy. The Lord God will not allow the enemy to get the upper hand, whereas we would be lost. But now we have people teaching things and doing things and putting things into law that will cause us to be lost and separated from God. And they know what they're doing. They may not know the full extent of what they're doing. Like the Lord Jesus said, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So you got a lot of people doing a lot of things. They really don't know what they're doing. They think they know what they're doing because the devil is giving them the things that they desire right now. They don't want to wait for it. They don't have the patience. So they'll go out and do some kind of hex, or they'll do whatever it takes. They'll do some kind of incarnation to get what they want. If they have to sell their souls to the devil, whatnot, they'll do that because they love money and prestige and power, and they will do anything to get it, but they won't serve God. That's the difference. They'll do anything to get it except serving God. When it comes to serving God and standing up for the things of God, then it's a problem. Standing up for righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness of God. We all err. No man is perfect, other than the perfect man, Jesus Christ. But no man is perfect, but every man and every woman can be mature. Now, what does mature mean? That means to walk upright in reference to the things and dictates and word of God. That's maturity. It's not what we have been talking about earlier in reference to Thyatira, where you do anything, but you're supposed to be a believer. That's not how it works. God didn't say that. And all right. Let me just read this here. Exodus 20:1. It's the Ten Commandments, I'm going to read this. But I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now when the Lord said brought thee out of the land of Egypt, what he's basically saying is he brought them out of the land of suffering, oppression, depression, demonic possession, and sin. That's what that means. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make unto thee, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep thy commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor manservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He says, honor thy father. I want y'all to remember this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his spirit may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. You see that? And that his spirit may be before your faces, that ye sin not. You have to have a fear of God to obey God. If you don't fear God, and when I say fear, I mean a mutual respect, a love for, an honor for. That's what it means when God is talking about fear. It's not talking about fear that you're standing there trembling and scared that he's going to shoot you with a lightning bolt. No, it's a fear that you respect, honor, and obey the Lord, because you recognize his power, his authority. He is our creator. We didn't create God, like what some people would dare to say. No man created God. God was before anything. God was before anything. God was past our imagination in everything. We cannot begin to consider God in his true form. He's past us. The only way we recognize and know about God is through his word and through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Now, I read to you the Ten Commandments. Now, I want to read something to you or bring out something to you in reference to the 10 points or the 10 commandments of the New World Order. Now, I have to bring this out because they have, many presidents of the United States have been talking about the New World Order for a long time. But the New World Order was really conceived, what, way back in the 20s, way back, for a real long time. Yeah, for a real long time, they were talking about the New World Order. They were talking about a one world government. They were talking about a one world religion. They were talking about a one world economic system. Well, why didn't they do it? Because they couldn't. They didn't have the technology. But they were thinking about it way in the time of Washington and Lincoln. They were thinking about these things. But they couldn't do it. For one thing, it wasn't time. They didn't have the technology. Well, now they have the technology, and they're pushing it. Remember what I said about the chip, the microchip that they want to put in your hand and in your forehead? See, 50, 60, 100 years ago, they didn't have that technology, so they couldn't do it. But that didn't mean they didn't want to do it. They still had the plan. But now they have the technology and the knowledge to do it, which in many times some of this knowledge is not of God. See, the enemy can give you knowledge too, but the knowledge that he gives separates you from God and causes you to do things that's not pleasing to God, because your knowledge from the enemy becomes your God. But the knowledge from God causes you to recognize God more, and you can be more effective in bringing people to God with your knowledge, you see. All right, I'm going to read something to you. Now, this is Alice Bailey, the 10-point plan of the New World Order. Now, I want you all to think about what I'm saying and consider. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Now, the first one is, check this out, take God and prayer out of the education system. Take God out of the education system. But in Exodus, God said you should have no other gods before me. Here they're saying take God out of the education system. So who's going to be the God? It's going to be the education. It's going to be what the teacher says. It's going to be the textbook. That's going to be their God. Humanism, not the true and living God. Now, this is what Alice Bailey said. Change curriculum to ensure that children are free from the bondage of Christian culture. They're called Christian culture. They're called belief in God. They're called living righteously. They're called doing right according to the scripture, Christian bondage. Why? Because children go to the school to be equipped to face life they are willing to trust and they are willing to value what is being given to them. So they want to catch the children at a young age and turn them away from God. Is that not happening in the schools across the country? Is that not happening in our colleges across the country? In many colleges and schools, if you touch your Bible, you're ridiculed. If you talk about Christ, you get thrown out. But you can come in there and talk about Harry Potter. You can come in there and talk about putting spells on people, putting hexes on people, going into witchcraft books. You can come in there teaching Satanism, and it's okay. But if you come in there talking about Jesus Christ, you got a problem. They want to see what's wrong with you. They want to see what's wrong with your child, if he's living right and doing right and speaking right and living for Christ. That's Christian bondage. Now, she said this in the 1920s, early 1900s. They had that plan in place. It says, if you take God out of education, they will unconsciously form a resolve that God is not necessary to face life. They will focus on those things the school counts them worthy to be passed on, and they will look at God as an additional, not necessary, not really real. We don't need God. Huh? If one can afford the additional. So if you can't afford God, it's okay. It's okay. That's what they're pushing in the schools now. They introduced transcendental meditation in school, which takes children to altered states of consciousness to meet with demons, spirit guides, new age transcendent masters. That's okay. Listen to this. Reduce parental authority over the children. Now, let's see here. Now, look like the scripture says for you to honor your mother and your father. You're supposed to obey your mother and your father. But over here, they say reduce parental authority over the children. They're telling you that you can't raise your child the way you really need to. Well, let me go into it a little further. Break the communication between parent and child. Why you do that? So that parents do not pass on their Christian traditions to their children. Liberate children from the bondage of their parents' tradition. How you do that? Promote excessive child rights. Look at this. 1997 to 1998, South Africa introduced child rights legislation. UNICEF Charter. Today a child is able to say to a parent, I do not want to hear that. I don't want to do what you're telling me. Teachers cannot talk to children. Children step up and say, I have my rights. You can't talk to me that way. Wow. Abolish corporal punishment. Now, this has been made the law. On the other hand, the Bible says, do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 23:13-14. Jesus said in the last days, wickedness will increase, there will be rebellion, and children will not obey their parents. It's not a trend, it's organized. Now, they're taking prayer out of the school. They're taking all manner of punishment out of the school. So now what's in the school? You got witchcraft, you got guns, you got knives, you have metal detectors, and you have kids going to school shooting other kids. But you can't say anything to them about that. You can't say, Johnny, no, you can't bring that gun to school. Johnny, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, I mean, there's no such thing as a vacuum in nature, and there's no such thing as a vacuum in the kingdom of God or in spiritual things. whether you believe it or not, if you take God out of everything in your life, what do you think is coming in? Do you think it's just going to be a vacuum and it's just you? The devil is coming in. And when the devil comes in, you'll get what you're seeing now. And you ask why God allowed it. No, God didn't allow that. You did. God didn't choose us. You did. When you kick God out of your life, you pull Satan in. And when you pull Satan in, you're going to reap the whirlwind of Satan's activity in your life, which is evil, which is destruction, which is poverty of spirit. That's what it is. Stop blaming God for what you and the devil does. You hate God. You despise God. You don't want God in your life. But when trouble hits you, you say, why God allowed it? God didn't allow that. You did, because you made the choice to run hard after the devil in everything that you do. Now, I command every saint out there, praise God for you. But now is the time of repentance. Now is the time of revival. America, get your head out of the sand. Get your head in the Bible. Read, look, wake up. Look at what's going on in the country. Politicians cannot help us. The military cannot help us. Science cannot help us. Nothing natural or physical can help us. Only God can pull us up out of this junk and trash that we have put ourselves into. Because we have rejected God, America, we have rejected God. And it's time to turn back. We call ourselves a Christian nation. Well, act like it. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. We have churches with thousands of people in them. We see all these horrible things going on. And people pointing the other way. Tell the truth. Be like Jeremiah. Be like the old prophet. Point people to God. Tell people where their deliverance is. Y'all, our deliverance is in Christ Jesus. And only he can put us out of this. Bend your knee. God would hear us. God would hear us. God would hear us when we pray. When we repent. When we seek the Lord. God will hear us. And he will hear our physical body. And he will heal our land.
Praise God.
Glory. We do not have to accept all these lies from all these demonic people. God has given us the authority and the power over these five spirits. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the authority. We have the power. I have to keep putting it out there because you do not have to bow to the enemy. Glory. Look at what he's doing. He's coming into the schools. He's coming to school. He's coming our government. And look what has happened to the nation. But we say we don't need God. What do you mean we don't need God? We say we're a Christian nation. We say that our founding fathers believed in God and prayed to God in the White House and in the Congress. But now we don't want to pray to God in school. They took the Pledge of Allegiance out of school. They took every aspect of prayer out of school. But if my studies tell me correctly, our school started off the reading of the Bible. There used to be a curriculum for reading the Bible. Now it's a book that somebody just made up. A bunch of folks just got together. Well, we're going to just make this book up and see what we can go with it. All right. Look, three, destroy the Judeo-Christian founding structure. or the traditional Christian family structure. Why? Why do they want to destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure if it doesn't mean anything? It is oppressive, and that the family is the core of the nation. If you break the family, you break the nation. Liberate the people from the confines of this structure. How you do that? Promote sexual promiscuity. That's how you destroy Judeo-Christian family structure. Promote sexual promiscuity. Free young people to the concept of premarital sex. Let them have free sex. Lift it up so high that the joy of enjoying it. Sex is the highest joy in life. Fantasize it. And everybody will feel proud to be seen to be sexually active. I just want to lay out for everybody, anybody. I don't care. Because I want to be free. I want to be sexy. Look at me. Yeah. Come on, let's go on and get it on. Yeah. That's okay. Oh, listen. Now, everybody will feel proud to be seen to be sexually active, like on TV and on what they sing about, even on the commercials, even those outside of America. This is contrary to the Word of God, which says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you saints as it fitting for saints. No. Let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ephesians 5:5. That's the reason why we got to speak up. Because in all this stuff, a person involves these things. And it's creeping into the church. People sitting up in church doing everything that God tells them not to do. They use advertising industry, media, TV, magazines, film industry to promote sexual enjoyment as the highest pleasure in humanity. Sell a soul for a woman or a man. Yeah, I'll go to hell for her. I'll go to hell for him. Yeah, because that's all I'm about. But that's not the way, America. That is the way. You say, have they succeeded? Have they done it? If you want to see if they succeeded or not, go to the advertising industry. Everything to catch your attention today, no advert comes out without a sexual connotation, which is true. Even when they advertise ice cream, they must show you a thigh of a woman and a bikini. They must do something to set off a trail of thoughts. Ooh-wee, if I get this ice cream, then I might get that other woman, that man, that butter pecan. They will show you more thighs than ice cream. Why? Because that is what must be in the minds of the people. Advertising industry pops out so much money towards the advertising to the TV and radio. It said, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. 4, and I'm going to go through here quickly. It says, 5, make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. 6, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. And not only have they made it an alternative lifestyle, if you notice, you can't even say that you don't agree with it. Nowadays, if you say you don't agree with all these alternative lifestyles, then you're the one with the problem. If you say you don't agree with being a sex addict, you have a problem. It says, debase art, make it run mad. Use media to promote and change mindset. Create an interfaith movement. It says, create an interfaith movement. Now I'm going to read this. Alice Bailey wrote, promote other faiths to be at par with Christianity and break this thing about Christianity as being the only way to heaven. By that, Christianity will be pulled down and other faiths promoted. She said, promote the importance of man in determining his own future and destiny, humanism. She said, tell man he has the right to choose what he wants to be, and he can make it happen. That sounds like New Age. He has the right to determine his cause. This takes God off his throne. We have seen in our nation South Africa hosting a meeting in the interfaith movement in Cape Town led by Dalai Lama. 10, this is the last one. Get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. And what's happening? That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. It says, Alice Bailey wrote that the church must change its doctrine and accommodate the people by accepting these things and put them into its structures and systems. It says, have they succeeded? Today you wonder why our government is legislating laws contrary to the Bible and why the church is compromising the word of God. It is a process of implementing the plan. A 50-year strategy of the New Age movement to fulfill its ultimate goal, establish a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion. Today, the strategy almost in its entirety has been adopted by the United Nations, and today, a lot of it is already law in many nations. Now, we just talked about Thyatira and how the Lord was somewhat chastising them about Jezebel. Well, what I just read to you was Jezebel. It was Jezebelian in its nature. Why? Because it's coming against God's people. It's trying to change godly laws of the nation to satanic laws where they can get a one world government, a new world order, and this new world order is not going to be headed up by God. It's going to be headed up by the evil one, by Lucifer, by the devil. That's going to be the head of this new world order. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about now, then all of you out there, get in your Bible, study your word, so that you won't be caught up in this net, this horrible trap that Jesus warns us about. We're going to tell you the truth, because they're implementing all these various things even as we speak. People of the Most High God, we are living. If we're not in Revelation, we're right at the door. Pretty soon, you won't be hearing messages like this. If you're not careful, you will not be hearing messages like this. Because there are going to be messages that's going to be diluted and polluted. And it's not going to do anything for your soul. It's not going to be any deliverance in it for you, because they're not going to tell you what God says. How can they tell you what God says when it's been just incarcerated and filled with this 10-point charter? Filled with doctrines of devils. Filled with doctrines of Jezebel. Filled with messages of the Nicolaitans. Filled with all kind of fleshly, lawless, damnable teachings. Most of these things like this, it's about the dollar. It's about the dollar. This chip that we were talking about that they're going to put in your hand and in your forehead, you know what? You're going to have to buy that. They're not going to give that to you. You're going to have to buy your own chip, your own tracking device, your own piece of poison. You're going to have to buy that. And think about if they make that mandatory, where the whole world have to buy this chip that they're going to put in you. Look at the money they're going to make. Look at the money they're going to make. So, now all that was in reference to one of the churches in Revelation. So when Jesus was speaking to these various churches, in so many words, he was speaking everything that was happening in history up to this day, starting from when he spoke to those churches. Because when he spoke to those churches, when Jesus died, when he came, he lived, he was crucified, he was died, buried, resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's when the church age began. Before Jesus, it was Old Testament. After Jesus, it's New Testament and the church age. So when Jesus spoke to those various groups of people, he was speaking to the church and pointing out what they had to watch out for and what the enemy had for them. So people, do not accept the teachings of Jezebel. Do not accept the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Do not accept the deep things of Satan, what we just talked about. What we just talked about with Alice Bailey, Aleister Crowley, Helen Blavatsky, all these different people like that. These are the deep things of Satan. These are the things that cause the enemy, the devil, to manifest in the earth. We don't want to have anything to do with that. We teach against that. We teach salvation. We teach power in Christ. We teach deliverance. We preach sanctification and holiness. We preach the word of the living God. We preach the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We preach Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost and in the power of his word. So we want you all to be encouraged. We realize that we're living in 2013 now. We thank God that he delivered us through 2012. But see, we don't know what 2013 is going to bring. So that means that we need to get in our word. We need to be as strong and mature in Christ as we can be. Because there's a lot of things that they're implementing now. There's a lot of things that they're going to bring to pass now, and they're not going to tell you what's behind it. But God has people out here who he allows to get some truth, to get some knowledge, to let you know about some things where you won't be tricked, trapped, and take something that you can't get rid of. Amen. So right now we're going to stand and get ready to do it. Is there anyone here who would desire prayer or do they have a testimony or something that God has done for them over the years? If so, you can speak now. If not, we're going to dismiss. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for blessing us to be here on today. We thank you also for blessing us to be here through the year to 2013. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us through this year as you have blessed us through every year up until this very time. Father God, we ask that you touch the minds and hearts of the listeners. We ask that you bless them. We come against all spirits of evil. We come against all spirits of oppression and depression, all spirits that will cause sickness and disease. We come against them. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Father God, let them have revelation of mind and heart in reference to your word, Father, in Jesus' name, and bless them until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear, so y'all finally found it, and Dion got a good suggestion, so I'll have to go out in the car to turn the Bluetooth on his earpiece. Well, I was listening to you in the earpiece, so I won't have to go out. I let you know when to go in and go out. So I heard it very clear.
Oh.
Like I was the listener that, you know, called. The floor was clear, very clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, phone ringing off. Phone ringing it off.
It's about the shifting.
March 23rd.
the senator of Georgia.
And Georgia. They want to make it.
They're going to make it mandatory.
They're going to try to make it.
Yeah, for health.
So what if I say no?
What? You got a right to say no.
You got a right to say no.
Because they said no.
They went to court and they won because they said no because it violated our